Alright, surprise! Welcome to Mr. Keck and Me. I'm Mr. Keck. And joining me, as he does, Reno, you hold the record for... Sorry, I just surprised you with this. We're live.
I don't know what's going on.
We're live, and we're just gonna do stuff. We're just gonna talk. We're just gonna talk, Reno. So Reno, you currently hold the record for most times interviewed on Mr. Keck and Me, and I don't know if that's an honor or if it's just a consequence of circumstance. because I know I have you as a captive audience more often than not.
You must absolutely hate me.
That's okay. So Reno, I really wanted to just focus in on kind of one central topic today. Mainly, I had a story I want to tell, but before I tell my story, I want to ask you something. So today's topic, let's say this is like Sesame Street, adult Sesame Street, and like instead of like the letter W, like today's episode's brought to you by identity theft. Reno, have you ever had your identity stolen?
I have come close, but no. We went on a bachelor party trip for my brother for his wedding, and... long story, but I lost my wallet. And I called and got my cards and stuff canceled, and then came back saying that they tried to make purchases on it and things like that. Well, I never heard anything else from it, so I assumed everything was hunky-dory. And then about, I don't know, 3 months later, my brother gets a phone call from a sheriff in Texas, and he had found my wallet with Kevin's ID in it. I guess I'd put Kevin's ID in there because we were, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so found the wallet, but that's as close as I've ever come.
Interesting. Well, so I ask because one, again, I have a story I want to tell, so selfish, but also it's thematic. So this last 2 weeks, which right now, timey-wimey stuff, the second week hasn't came out yet. That'll be next week, but when this comes out, it'll be the week before. But there's a story where I'm talking to Treva's husband, Andy Frisbee, and he recently, in this upcoming episode, divulges maybe some scandalous behavior he did across the border. So it's a Mexico tie-in. So there's a Mexico story that he has of breaking the law. So you had the law broken upon you. He had the law broken by him. And just a common theme here of crime. So now, Reno, I want to tell you my story. Okay, indulge me.
All right, let's hear.
I submit to you the Midnight Society. This, the tale of two Chrises. So, what happened? Well, no. Before I get to that story, let's backtrack. So, I recently, well, not recently. I used to be a person that when I added my bank app to my phone, I would check my stuff like every day. And I got to a point where I'm like, man, I look at my account stuff and like, some days it just doesn't move and like, that's awesome. But like, why am I looking at this so constantly? Like, and then I think I might have saw something on like Facebook that's like, you shouldn't spend your time worrying about some of these other things. And they weren't talking about checking your bank account, but like they were mentioning something. I was like, man, I am becoming like really obsessive with like checking this to see like what happens. And like, you know, I'm just paranoid. I'm just being paranoid, right, Reno? I'm just like,
yeah.
Like, no one's, like, you know, sometimes I would get to the point where, like, I would pay for gas, and then I'd, like, check my phone later that day, like, did someone, like, because, you know, people can, like, put stuff in the card readers and the gas stations, and, like, they can steal your identity, or at least I've heard that at some point, now it's in my head that that's the thing that exists. So I was like, okay, so I'm just gonna take a break. I just can't check it every day. I can't check it, like, I was checking it multiple times a day. I can't do that. That's too obsessive. I need to find something else to keep my attention. So I made this determination, and I felt good about it, and I stopped checking my phone for probably about a week. And then, Reno, I go to check my phone almost midnight. My wife had just fell asleep. I was getting very tired. I was about to fall asleep myself, and then I pull up my phone. I'm like, you know what? Let's just see where I'm at funding-wise. We're about to go do something, so I kind of want to see where I'm at. And I notice that I have a couple $1,000 less in my account than what I should be having in said account. And I'm like, well, that's troubling. Like, I shouldn't be down this low. Like, I haven't been spending money that bad during the pandemic. So then I go to the transactions list, and then roughly about the time I stopped checking, like literally the day that I probably stopped checking, a very large transaction, a very large withdrawal was made from my account. And so that's a panic, Reno. That caused a lot of panic. It was, again, you know, several $1,000 happen to just get up and relocate itself outside of my account. So I do the most calm and rational thing that you can do at midnight when there's absolutely nothing you can do in these situations. And I go into a full tilt panic. And I wake my wife up, get her very stirred up and confused and scared and upset as well. And I just kind of keep myself worried sick until like 4 o'clock in the morning. During the gaps between waking up my wife in this panic, and her falling back to sleep and me still staying up until, like, I just watched TV till I fell asleep. In the time frame between that, I fired off a couple of very strongly worded messages to my bank, because the thing that upset me is because I started to realize this wasn't someone that used my card information to pull this money out. There was a bank teller receipt in there. So someone went into a bank and withdrew this money. So that, like, that whole thought process, that whole concept kind of burrowing itself into my brain about 2 a.m. is when, like, the
freaking A, man,
the epitome of my losing it just occurred. That is the height of, like, all right, I am now going to let my bank know how I personally feel about this on every platform I can get a hold of them on, knowing full well no one's going to check this until they get up in the morning and they come in at their
7, 8 o'clock in the morning, yeah, whatever it is.
Yes, and so, like, I can't go to sleep naturally because of all this, so I just sit there and watch TV until eventually I do fall asleep, and I pretty much wake up on the dot, like, right at 6 o'clock. So I got, like, 2 hours of sleep, I'm frustrated, I'm missing money, I don't know where it is. I know the bank screwed me, so I am prepared to go to war. Because, like, one of my communications to my bank was, how dare you give my money to someone because someone came into a bank. Someone came into a bank and your teller gave them my money. How did you not check this and stop this? So I call, I get communications from them, and someone calls me as soon as they can in the morning, which is like almost 8:30, 9 o'clock, so I'm getting progressively angrier as I've been awake now and running on no sleep. And from there, I find out from the guy that I'm talking to, so he's not someone stationed here in, like, my bank or anything, it's like one of those corporate people, and he's like, well, so we can, like, we see that it's happened, but because of how it's happened and because of our bank's rules, you'll have to go through the branch that this came out of, that this transaction happened with, and verify with them what happened and, you know, why. And I'm like, that's so weird. You can give away my money and I have to, like, fight, but
do
whatever.
Something about it to get it back.
But whatever. Okay. So, like, I go, can I ask where this transit, like, what branch I'll be talking to? And he's like, Pine Bluff. I'm like, I live in Elkins, Arkansas. You're saying that I have to verify that I didn't randomly travel to the middle portion of the state, that I didn't travel like 4 hours away to withdraw a large sum of money and then get retroactively upset about it a week later. Yes, sir. That's, you know, it's kind of what you have to do. I'm like, okay, all right, let's see. So then Pine Bluff calls me because I'm just waiting on the manager to get into her office, and she doesn't get into her office till like 9 o'clock, 9:30. So she calls me, and there was a bit of a swerve here because she came at me very accusatory, and I'm like, well, that's not the appropriate measure I was looking for in today's customer service. So she was like, I'm gonna tell you right now, sir, I personally check everyone that comes in, and that's my signature on the receipt. I'm like, okay.
Oh, listen here.
I'm like, well, so then I don't know, like, what it is that you're checking, but I don't exist in that part of the state ever at any point. I've been there once, and that was like 2009. Like, I have not been in that part of state. I can count how many times I've been in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So, like, I don't know what you thought you saw. Okay, well, can you send me a picture of your ID? So then I'm like, is this lady real? Like, am I getting catfished via my bank now? Like, she wants me to send an email with my driver's license? Like, that seems sketchy. So now I'm like,
yeah.
Now I'm, like, doing a search on her. I'm, like, trying to validate that this person's real and I'm not getting scammed by, it's not like a long con scam to get me. So anyways, I send her my stuff and she calls back and she goes, Mr. Cagle, I would like to apologize. We will be getting your money back to you. I go, what happened? She goes, well, so it seems that there is another Christopher Cagle that lives in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And when we pulled him up in our account, we just went with the first bank ID that we saw. So clearly my middle initial falls higher in the alphabet than other Pine Bluff Chris Cagle. And they just didn't see a problem with that. They filled out the bank slip. They gave this man his money and he just walked out thinking nothing was wrong. And it was at that point, Reno, I decided my one goal in life now is to eliminate every other Chris Cagle in the world. You've seen that movie, like Jet Li, The One?
Yeah.
I feel like that movie is grounded in someone having their identity mistakenly stolen by a doppelganger name. Like, listen, this Chris Cagle, he didn't maliciously try to steal money from me. This is all on my bank, and they're dumbasses in charge of handling things that should be a lot more secure than this. But if there weren't other Chris Cagles in the state,
you wouldn't have had this problem.
This wouldn't have been a problem. So, I mean, I can either go with a bank that's never going to do anything on behalf of its people, or I can eliminate all Chris Cagles from existence and solve my problem. There can only be one. I will absorb the entity, the essence, the power of all Chris Cagles to form myself a super Chris Cagle. And then I will never have money mistakenly withdrawn. Man, that just, it's, how can you be that? Yeah. How can you be that? Like,
in today's world, how can you not make sure?
I've had to fill out my bank account number when I feel like I've gotten stuff withdrawn from the bank, right? Like, I feel like you have to give them the account number to use.
So unless they know you on a personal basis, like they always ask for like an ID or some kind of number or something at the teller whenever you're trying to withdraw money.
No, I thought you filled out the slip thing and then the teller stamps on it or whatever. And like, why is the teller filling all this out? If the teller didn't fill all this out, this wouldn't have been an issue. So me and that sassy manager, whatever, like that was, I was like, she came a lot nicer. And I think it's just because I was so exhausted. I was like, whatever. I just want my money back. Where's my money, man? I just want to be done with this. I don't ever want to talk.
Where's my money, man?
And you would think that would be the end of my adventure with this bank, but no, I'm still a card carrying member. But if I ever actually get my ass in gear, I'm burning that. I'm just going to be done with that bank. Like, forget them.
I used to have similar feelings to my former bank. Not because of that, but because of how difficult they made it for standard things.
Well, identity theft isn't funny, Jim. So, our friend Kyle, I was texting him the other day, and we were watching Peacock. That's the NBC Universal streaming app. And WWE is now streams their stuff exclusively through Peacock's app in America. And I was sitting there texting him, and like the stream started messing up because Peacock just wasn't prepared to do this pay-per-view. And I was like, well, you know, at least like, you know, cause he, I think, just got Peacock for this event. And I was like, yeah, it's not typically this bad, but I think their live stuff, they're still trying to figure out a little bit. But like, the added bonus is that, you know, you can always get on and just watch The Office. And our friend Kyle, he goes, yeah, you know, I can never get into that show. Reno, were you a fan of The Office?
So I've watched it and I like it, but I'm not absolutely obsessed with it like it seems like most of the country is.
Yeah, I'm going through the third rewatch of the entire series.
I don't know that I've ever seen every episode of the entire series, but I've seen most.
I've seen them all. But me and Stephanie, my wife, are doing this right now. That's like our thing, is we're watching the entire Office series all over again. Honestly, though, I don't know how. I think it's going to be tough because Michael Scott, Steve Carell's character, disappears in about the season that we're in. So, like, it's really tough to stick with it after that point because it's just not the same without Steve Carell.
Yeah. I get that.
Do you, though, Reno?
Yeah, I do.
All right, Reno. So, I've recently told a law story. I told a story about when we were... A couple weeks ago on one of these with my brother, Jared. No relation to you, but relation to me.
the other Jared.
We talked about how there was a party back, I think we were in high school, at a friend's house, and the cops were called. And they, like, I don't know, I don't think you were there, Reno. You might have been with your girly friend at the time. But there was a, I can't remember if it was high school or if it was college. It doesn't matter. But I called my brother. I called my older half brother and was like, "Hey dad, can you come pick me up? The cops are here. I know I'm in trouble and stuff like that." So he came and picked me up. And my dad never found out about this story until like literally a month ago, Jared like finally was like, "Hey, you know, dad, I got to tell you the story about Chris." And like,
funny
it's
story.
It's been 11 years by this point. Hopefully you're not still upset. But yeah, so like that, I've told that story. And then Andy's got a story coming out where he, you know, kind of broke the law in Mexico. Reno, do you have any law stories that you want to throw out there? And not be incriminating? not.
I mean, there's still no physical evidence for this, I guess, but...
That is a terrifying way to start off a story. You know?
So, as you may recall, because I want to say you were in on this a couple times with us.
Probably.
When we lived in Wilson's apartment, there was various adventures, both in our hometown and where we were living, to add to the apparel to Wilson's wall. Street signs, basically.
So I allegedly had been involved in some of those. I don't know if it was for that specific foray. I think he kind of had, like, allegedly he had an obsession with getting those things one way or the other.
Yeah, he really did.
But no, so, I may or may not have had dalliances with some of these encounters, right? There's no physical evidence. Let's backtrack. This is all allegedly.
And this is all allegedly like 10 years ago. So.
Hypothetically, this is like O.J. Simpson. If I had murdered those people, here's how I would have done it.
But anyway, you know, there was various ones that we went on and did some silly things and whatnot. But one really sticks out in particular. And we decided that we were going to go and take some signs straight off of a liquor store. And so the first one we pull up to, we weren't very smart about, because it had cameras on it. And we kind of walked up to the building, saw the cameras, and like just slowly did the back out, you know, ducked their head and left. Didn't take anything. So then we found one that didn't have cameras and went to town. But that was not before we put on a ski mask like an actual criminal.
Oh, God, Reno.
Yeah, yeah. And then we took the vehicle and hid it off in the trees. And like, so stupid. Like, what were we thinking?
Oh, my God. That's a good way to get shot, brother.
Dude, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we didn't realize that at the time. Crap, I was.
Yeah, that's true. Allegedly.
Young kid, I don't care. Allegedly. But if you ever came to Wilson's apartment, you always noticed his quality street sign apparel on his wall.
Yeah, he bought from a good website. He had a fine website. He went and got all
these.
That's right. Because if you're a child or you're someone that's thinking this sounds like a fun idea, street signs are used by ambulances and you're putting someone in jeopardy and they don't get to replace the signs immediately. Allegedly, we're all aware of this.
Allegedly.
But liquor store signs. Liquor store signs. What liquor store doesn't have cameras?
Have you that's been to our sketchy. Hometown?
I have. I feel like everything in our hometown should have cameras.
Probably should, but these two that we hit did not.
I feel like there's a lot of meth floating around. A lot of mathematicians.
Now, that's not to say that they don't have iron bars and stuff
true.
Over the doors true. And stuff, but...
True.
But
true. Identity theft in general is not good. Don't do it.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Littering's bad. Teen drinking, very bad. Teen drinking is very bad. Yo, I got a fake ID, though.
Fake ID.
Everybody in the club getting... Why has he in the club? Oh, because he had a fake ID. I was like, how'd he get in a club? But he just said, I got a fake ID, though.
That's right.
That was such a great song to come on at like a junior high dance. It's like, should we be dancing to this? And then like, there was always like those couple kids that were like very much dancing to it. It's like, well...
You know,
like if you were a teacher in that, do you sit there and think we probably shouldn't play this song?
You know, there's times where I really relate to like some memes and things that you see on the internet. And one of the ones I find that I relate the most to is the one where he's like me driving to my 9-to-5 job, listening to a song about killing your parents or something terrible about how thug you are. And I really hits home for me.
Yeah. Do you know, like, I think the reason why John Cena as a wrestler, he worked so well because he was originally the doctor of Thugonomics.
Yep.
And he was basically just the embodiment of every phase that every stupid white kid went through in like the 90s when Eminem became relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Where we all wore jorts down to our knees, like, you know, and granted, it may not have been Eminem that influenced you. Maybe it was, maybe you were going down the route of the Insane Clown Posse. But listen, there was some moment in your basic ass white self at a young age where you're like, yeah, I understand these rap lyrics and I embody them. And you go out and you buy your FUBU shirt, which, you know, honestly, so many layers of how of that is just completely weird. But I had a FUBU jersey. I never realized that it was for us by us, and I was not the us included in that. So, but I did, you know, I gave money to FUBU. I liked it. I wore it. I thought it was cool. But yeah, no, there was that embarrassing point in all of our young white lives. If you're a millennial, I don't think Gen Z does this. They haven't culturally appropriated the crap out of the rap era. Like they're doing other things. They're like closing like fast food restaurants and scanning Zillow and whatever those nerds are doing at a young age now.
Bunch of nerds.
You young growing nerds. Mullets. Growing mullets unironically or ironically. I don't know. I had a budding mullet coming in there during the pandemic.
I'm still disappointed that when you got your haircut that you didn't donate some.
I just took a picture. I just took a picture with my dad. And, like, everything that anyone that saw me after that point said is, oh, my gosh, you look so much like your dad now. And I'm like, you don't understand how hurtful this is, what you just said.
Why did you just say this?
But, no, for real, I look a lot like my dad now.
Sometimes the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
But, listen, I'm going to say something weird. My dad pulled my mom, and she's kind of good looking, right?
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. That's good luck for me. Yeah. Granted, I'm already married, have two kids, but hey.
Go me.
I'm not having a third kid. I think that's where dad and mom messed up. They had the third kid. Sorry, Jordan. Sorry, Jordan, my youngest brother who doesn't listen to this, but sorry. But I still love you, sorry. Jordan.
Sorry.
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 All right. Sorry.
This has been Mr. Kak and me.